Ah, good times. We're studying through Genesis, and we're fixing to see. We talked about the fall. We talked about the effect of the fall. Missed one little piece that maybe I'll use as a segue to today. Do you remember when we talked about how that man had clothed himself when he was full of shame? Adam and Eve clothed themselves when they realized they were naked. And then the Lord Jesus ends up clothing them after that. Our God does, let's say. And when God clothes them, he clothes them with what? Skins, yes. And so he clothes them with animal skins. I said that because I'm going to get back to that in a second. When we're having a conversation about these first two boys that were ever born. So remember, when God created Adam and Eve, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, he created man upright. So they were good. They were very good. All of God's creation was very good. They were included. They were without sin. They didn't even know the difference between good and evil. They just were how they were supposed to be. And we remember the whole story of the fall. Satan comes by the way of the serpent and tempts them to become like God. Do it their way. They fall for it. And there's the curse that comes. We see the redemptive aspects of the curse all along, that God is providing, even in the curse, a way forward for his people. We also saw that Satan's seed and the seed of the woman, the Lord Jesus' seed, would be at enmity with one another throughout all the age. And we learned that throughout all the age, I mean, God said that their seeds will be at enmity with each other, but we learned throughout all the age, as we look all the way in through history. This is the first act, if you will, of that reality. The first act of the two seeds at enmity with one another is on display. And so we're going to see it that way because that's the way the text opens it up to us. Interestingly enough, this Wednesday in our 6:30 Bible study, this was our text. Just so happens those two collided. And so we chewed on this on our Wednesday morning Bible study. So all of you Wednesday morning Bible study guys, you're getting a double dip, if you will. So, I entitled this Sin Wants You, because what God tells us here in this story is that sin has a life of its own. He talks about it like a noun, like a crouching dragon, if you will, and as if it's a thing, because it is. We saw this over in Romans, if you've been in our Romans studies, that sin is a noun. It's something. So let's work through the text and we'll make a little more sense of it. Adam made love to his wife. If you read this in the New King James or the King James, it says knew her, but you know, gonna go ahead and go there. Adam knew his wife in that special way, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. And she said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Now, commentators say, and I hadn't thought of it before I read them, but I think it's a good thought, and that is that perhaps it was that she knew that she would have a seed that would eventually, you know, bruise the head of the serpent, and that perhaps this was that seed from the help of the Lord. But of course, we find out something altogether different. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel, the second born. Nothing special about Abel or his name, and sometimes the name has significance. In this case, it doesn't. And now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. And in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering of fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. And the Lord looked on with favor. I want you to notice this. This is very important. Two things that happened. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. And he did not, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. And so Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. So maybe we'll pause here and chit chat. So what's going on here? Well, somehow these first two boys knew that from the fruit of their hands were offerings were to be made to the Lord. And so the question is, of course, why did the Lord turn Cain's offering down? It was what he did. The Bible said that he was a farmer and Abel was a shepherd. And so Abel brought his and Cain brought his. So what's the beef? And because we see over in the law, once you get into the law, that it was just fine for the farmer to bring the first fruits of his crop to the Lord and for the shepherd to bring the first fruits of his crop to the Lord or the rancher to bring the first fruits of his crop to the Lord. So we see over in the law that so the question that people are asked is, well, what was the problem with the offering? And I believe that there was no problem with the offering. Now, there are commentators, and if you've read 15 of them this week, you'll see that there's about seven guys on one side and eight on the other that think that maybe there was something wrong with the offering. That the hint given that when God clothed Adam and Eve with lamb skins or with skins, that he was acting out that man's sin had to be covered, not with fig leaves, but with something where blood had to be shed. And that God had given them that hint and so that they knew that a proper offering would be the offering of blood. So you can see how that's understandable. And if you understand it that way and think that is right, then I'm good. And I may find out in heaven or even next week that's the best way to think about it. But here's what I think's at play. And I think a larger picture is at play because I think the curse is being put on full display. I think that the seed of the Satan and the seed of the woman, the Lord Jesus' seed, are being put on full display here. And I think that the hint is that the Lord looked with favor on Abel, and the Lord didn't look with favor on Cain. And so I think that no matter what they would have brought, of course, the first fruits of the field on the one hand or the first fruit of his flocks on the other hand were the appropriate offerings. And as long as both of them brought the appropriate offerings, and the reason I say that is because we see in the law that that is an appropriate offering for a farmer and also for a shepherd. And so what I think is that the righteous man brought a righteous offering. And the man who wasn't righteous didn't bring a righteous offering. And you can say, well, where do you get that? And remember, we said that we would learn about Genesis from other passages in the Scripture. And so I want you to look at two and see if you'll agree with me. And if you don't, you're dismissed. with what do they call it in the court? With something. Yeah, exactly. With grouchiness. Okay, so yeah. So let's read this verse together. Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel brought an offering, brought God a better offering than Cain did. How did Abel bring his offering? By faith, he was commended, not his offering. He was commended as, oh. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he's dead. The next passage is about old Cain, and we saw this when we were talking about the seed of the woman. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to who? Yeah. He belonged to Diablo. He belonged to him. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. And so righteous people do righteous things. Evil people do evil things. And while I do believe in this particular context, the evil thing that he did was not bring a bad offering per se, but that he was evil and what he was fixing to do next would be a testimony that he was, God didn't accept it. He was of the evil one. So you say, well, huh. So Cain just shows up of the evil one? Like, how does that work? That doesn't seem fair. Well, both of them were sinners, wouldn't you agree? Because everybody after Adam and Eve, the Bible says, were born. That's right. So both of them were sinners, but one of them had faith and the other didn't have faith. One was righteous and the other wasn't righteous. One was of the seed of the woman and the other was the seed of the serpent. And so what happens is that we can see this drama playing out. So now let's listen in on the story. Then the Lord says to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? You not be accepted. He's not talking about his offering anymore, is he? He's saying, okay, I see you're upset. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? So let me push the pause button there. The Bible says in Romans 2 that everyone, even sinners, even before the law, has something inside of us that lets us know what to do that is either right or wrong, right? In this particular case, I don't know why God shows up and shows him this, but perhaps the conscience wasn't fully developed or who knows what the deal is, but God comes up and literally confronts him and says, if you do what's right, won't you be accepted? So the righteous man does what's exactly, and the evil man does what's exactly. And this is the same thing that's set up for you guys who study Proverbs over and over every day of the month. It's an easy thing to read. A lot of people do that as a practice. You'll always see the fool, who's not the righteous guy, and the righteous guy or the wise guy, fool. Same deal. If you look in the Old Testament, there's always the righteous and the wicked, the fool and the wise, the evil and the not evil, right? And so, like, there's two seeds that are always set up. If you look at the Bible, there's two seeds that are always set up. And then God says this next thing to him. And God saying this next thing to him is also teaching us something about sin. But if you do not do what's right, sin is crouching at your door. And I want you to look at that anthropomorphic language that he uses. That's a fancy word that means he uses like a metaphorical language. It makes it look like an animal. So an animal crouches, right? If you've ever seen the crouching dragon, have you ever seen a picture of a dragon? You can Google it when you get home. Google image dragon, and what you'll see is that it has, you know, like lion's claws, and it can pounce, even though it's also like got the whole snake features and can breathe fire and all of those sorts of things. And so here's this crouching dragon that is sitting outside your door. And its desire is to have you. Its desire is to have you. Well, this is a great picture of sin. And if you look in Romans, Paul says the exact same thing, that we have desires that are within us that want to get us, want to take us out. Sinful desires. It's the same desire that Satan evoked in the garden. You do you. You go your own way. You don't have to listen to God. What does he know? You're as wise as him. You go your way. You can figure it out. If it feels good, if you feel like doing it, you do it. If you want to do it, do it. If you desire to do it, do it. No matter what God says. Well, God stands here and says, well, this is what I say, but I know that you have a desire. And I know that that desire is sitting right outside the door of your heart. And if you don't rule over it, it will come in the house. And if it comes into the house, you will kill your brother. Now, let me just say something interesting to you. This isn't biblical text, but it's interesting. Like every historical ancient culture has a flood story, every culture has a twin brother story or a brother story. Every culture does. And usually what's happening in the twin brother story is there's an evil twin and a good twin, just like Cain and Abel. There's an evil seed and a good seed. And what the psychological metaphor is that if the good guy doesn't subdue the bad guy, if he gives in to the bad guy will kill the good guy. So think about it in your own life. If you give in to sin, then you become someone that kills the very person that you were supposed to be. Amen? You literally act other than God made you to be, because you yield to the sin that's in your flesh. This is a Christian version of this. Back to Cain and Abel, and back to their story, because Cain obviously was not a Christian. He was of the evil one. And so, but God sits here, and God puts this reality in front of this evil one. And he says, sin's crouching at your door. Its desire is for you. If you don't subdue it, your history. If you don't subdue it, your history. And guess what the evil one does? The evil one does what evil people do. The Bible said about Satan, The Bible said what Jesus said to the Pharisees, to some of them, is he said this, you are of your father the devil, and you do what your father does. He was a murderer from the beginning. Right here is his first one. Right here is his first one. That crouching dragon, do you remember when Judas was sitting there, the one who betrayed our beloved Lord? Do you remember when he's sitting there and the Bible says, and Satan entered him? Here's Cain, and Satan enters him. And the next verse says, now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go into the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Sin wants you. Sin wants you. And let me say that what I believe that God was acting out here and showing us in real time and in reality is that the seed of the enemy wants to destroy you. And it's not some mystical thing out there. I'll give you an example. Jeff and I were talking about this week. There's a famous verse that says, the thief has come to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come to give you life. And most people think that that thief is Satan himself. But if you look at the context, the thief is actually people, false teachers, that are trying to say that there's another Messiah, that there's another way, that there's another door, that there's another good shepherd. It's false teachers. So here's the point. Is it the devil? Yes. Is it false teachers? Yes. The devil uses false teachers' mouths to deceive your heart. And in the same way, and in the same way, the way he gets to you is not the devil showing up in a dragon suit. Because if the devil showed up in a dragon suit with his pitchfork and his red horns, you'd say, you're the devil. And then you'd say something, depending on your background, I rebuke you in Jesus' name, or something along those lines. But the devil doesn't show up like that. Shows up in your mind. First person. Well, everybody's bothering you. You know what I mean? Or he shows up in somebody's mouth, condemning you, judging you. He shows up in somebody's heart and mind, and they attack you. And sin's crouching at your door. And your reaction, what happens next? It's a testimony to the seed. It's a testimony to the seed. And what happens is that God has come, as we saw last week, to destroy the works of the evil one in your own heart. See, because the snake's not in some garden somewhere. The snake's in this garden right here. And I'm the one with the evil desires. I'm the one who wants to go astray, to turn to my own way. I'm the one who's led astray by somebody's rebuke, by somebody's mean sayings, by somebody's withholding love from me or hurting me. I'm the one who, when that happens to me, sin crouching at my door and I yield to it and suddenly I become the person who kills the person who I'm supposed to be, which is a godly man and a man of God. And sin is a desire that's within us, that's desire is for you to take you out, to get you to sin. Sin is the desire, sin noun is the desire to get you to sin verb. You know what I mean? You follow me? And so what happens is that we have to remember this, that there is evil and that there's an enemy of our soul. And it's not some mystical thing that's out there. It's some real reality that's in here. There's sin in my own flesh. It has its own desires. Now, can it be animated by demons? Of course. The Bible says, what can separate you from the love of God? And it says, can demons? Let me ask you this question. If a demon could separate you from the love of God, would it? If a demon could separate you from the love of God, would it? And the Bible says it can't. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. And so what happens is that we have a lot of stuff that's within us that would separate us from the love of God. But the love of God prevails. Calvary holds up. The blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all of our sins. But day by day, we stumble, we trip our feet, we lose our faith. Lose our faith, meaning like we become faithless. Like when Jesus told Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. Do you remember when Jesus said that to Peter? Satan has desired to sift you like... What if Jesus came to you right now and said, hey, angel, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. And then you remember what the next thing he said was this, but I've prayed for you. And then he says this. This is Bobby's paraphrase. And after he sifts you like wheat, return to your brethren. Because you know that's exactly what happened. He showed up in the mouth of that little servant girl. And Peter denied Jesus three times. Satan sifted him like wheat, exposed his weak faith. He fell like a hammer. Jesus had to restore him. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Three times in the deal. Out in, you know, in the deal. You mean out on the, you know, beach. Later, after the resurrection. Satan's real. The sin in you's real. Has one purpose. To take you away from the Lord Jesus has one purpose. Its desire is for you. Somebody say amen. But greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Somebody say amen to that. And I will follow he that's within me. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. Thank you for this testimony of the two seeds. The righteous seed of Abel, the seed of the evil one, Cain. Thank you for showing us how, what happens when one inhabits the other. When sin inhabits the seed of the evil one, and the destruction that happens. Thank you, Lord, for showing us a picture of what's happening inside our own hearts. Thank you for the victory that you've won over that seed and on Calvary. Thank you for the victory that you've won over the works of the devil on Calvary. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that as your blood is continually cleansing us from those times when we stumble, that we also would recognize those desires and deny ourselves and take up our crosses and follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.